Welcome to Web Talk Radio at webtalkradio.com for August 14, 2006. And I'm Rob Greenlee. Dana Greenlee's in here with me, too.
I'm right here. Hello, everybody. It's been a while, huh? We're here.
Yeah, she is. And she's the creator and keeper of boston-legal.org and host of her own podcast at Boston Legal TV Show Podcast.
On a summer hiatus, I might add, but falls around the corner.
Yeah, that's right. It's only, less than a month away from the launch of the new Boston Legal season?
We've got lots of stuff to cover, and I want to jump right into it because we're going to run out of time.
Well, that's true.
So let's just tease them a little bit with a headline or two.
Do you really need to hide when you're online?
I procrastinate. Not me, but it's the name of a program, and it's free.
And no more procrastination? I enjoy procrastination, but anyway.
It pays off sometimes.
And Thailand plans a free laptop for every child.
And here's a question. Is Google AdSense still best at making the dough online?
That is a good question. And we also have two guests on the show this week. After our headlines discussion here, I'll be speaking with Bill Valente, who is the executive VP and maestro of Melodio's Mobilecast. Actually, I work there as well, with full disclosure here. And if you listen to the show, you've heard me say that many times. And he's also the host of a podcast of his own called The Rantcast Show with Bill Valente. And I actually am the producer of that show for him. So there's a close connection between Bill and I. So it'll be real interesting to have him on the show. He's going to talk about, with me, and we're both going to kind of discuss this too, Melodio's launch this past week of its mobile phone podcasting application in conjunction with Altel, the fifth largest wireless carrier in the United States. And we're really going to cover why this news was or is significant to podcasters and podcast listeners.
Yeah, well, I think, to my mind, podcasting is almost the perfect kind of digital media content for mobile phones, because after all, phones are audio devices. Yeah, people are watching video on it, but you know, primarily it's recognized as an audio device. And the huge and growing catalog of great podcast material available on the web now makes it very interesting to have a solution, which we've offered, called Mobilecast, to enable people to search and stream or download those podcasts to the mobile phone.
And then in the last part of the show, we're going to discuss the growing area of video voice calling online. And we're going to speak with Scott Lamond, who's president and COO of Sitespeed.com. And it's a leading provider of video and voice calling online.
We're fond of saying that video calling over the web, you know, it's always been the next great thing. I think in the World Fair sometime in the 60s, it was, you know, shown off, and everybody's been waiting for it to happen. But for a variety of reasons, it hasn't. I think what's changed now, as we sit here in 2006, mid-year, is that, you know, broadband penetration is really getting there to where there's a critical mass of that. The quality of the broadband connections now that you can get is much better. Bandwidth is better. QoS is better. And then, you know, computers, of course, with Moore's Law, become sufficiently powerful that they can compress and decompress and render video with ease and not take, you know, 100% of your CPU. And webcams have just, you know, increasingly gone up in quality and come down in price. So all the factors are there. And I think the final fourth factor is that people now are aware that you can do this.
Well, if you like what you heard so far and have more to add to the conversation after you've listened to the entire show, you can email Rob or I. Rob can be reached at rob@webtalkradio.com and myself at dana@webtalkradio.com. We definitely appreciate you tuning in.
This show is part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And if the network has terrific other tech podcasts out there, and you can also get Web Talk on Melodio Mobilecast. So go check out melodio.com, and that's spelled melodeo.com. There's also an interesting way of listening to podcasts on that site as well. So it actually has a player embedded in the page.
And might I say, if you're listening to us from our website, Web Talk Radio, right now, perhaps you've noticed that there's not a lot of blog posts there, but Rob is busy blogging. And I just want to quick mention that, because if people like to read what you have to say about things, where are you blogging right now? Can you tell everyone?
Well, I have a blog that is really focused on the future growth and development of mobile phone podcast listening. And the address for that is at mobilecasting.blogspot.com. And
Can they just do a Google search or something to find it easier?
Well, actually, they can just type in mobile podcasting in Google, and I'm the number one place position for that search phrase.
Cool.
And you'll find my blog right away. And I basically spend most of my time when I'm blogging here talking about the future of listening to like shows like this on your mobile phone and others.
Well, great. And I think we should just jump into that first headline. You know, kind of, I have an opinion on this, but you had posed the question, do we really need to hide online? And we're talking, of course, of privacy policies, cookies, IP addresses, and, you know, everybody's paranoia about too much information out there. But there was an article that was recently published called How to Digitally Hide in Plain Sight, and they cite some software that you can buy. What's your take on that whole, do you want to hide in plain sight, or do you want to hide at all?
Well, I think each person kind of needs to decide for themselves how public they want to be online. And there's certainly a lot of tools out there that one can use to make yourself anonymous, essentially.
Anonymizer.
Anonymizer. Actually, they've been a sponsor of our show in the past. But there's tools out there to use like a like proxy servers that basically block the availability of your IP address as you're out there browsing. And then there's the whole process of eliminating cookies in your browser. It's really simple to go in and just kind of delete cookies within the options area of your browser to kind of eliminate the ability for websites and websites that have ads to track your paths online. But I think that the really big issue here is how much information you want to actually publish to the internet. Because when a person searches in Google, just like right now, if you type in my name into Google, Rob Greenlee or Dana Greenlee, you can find out, you know, I probably got, I don't know, 50,000 links off of different web pages that have my name on them. And oftentimes those links have either personal information about me or professional information about me. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us just need to decide, you know, is it smart for me to make a lot of information about myself available? Do I want to blog? I mean, if you blog, you're actually putting a lot of personal information out there about yourself, typically. So, you know, what's your kind of philosophy on it, Dana? I mean,
well, you know, and I just want to say as a website owner, and I'm sure many of you are, I can't help but be very fascinated by who visits my sites. Now, I don't do it for like bad reasons or, you know, how I can manipulate you into buying things, because I'm talking about a television show fan site. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I like to look at, and I ignore IP addresses, but also delivers with it the city and state you're from, how long you've been on my website, how many times you've returned, what pages you went to. And that to me is just fun. I don't compile it for any other reason. But I actually, I can think of where you've gotten in. Can I say where you've gotten in a little bit of trouble of providing too much information? Because we're pretty much no holds barred. Here we are. We've been doing it for so long.
Well, I think, you know, I think where you're going here is that there are people in all of our lives that want to know information about us, whether they're friends, work colleagues, maybe employers.
Or ex-wives
that maybe, you know, want to know what's going on with you. If you're out there putting things on the web about your career, or you're very public in what you're doing, maybe you go to conferences like I do and speak, and there's bios up there, and there's just a lot of detailed information. I mean, a lot of what I publish online is professional stuff.
You're giving facts all over again. I was looking for a little bit of downside from it that you've experienced. Or upside. Have you ever gotten a job from putting all that information? I mean, really, that's what you...
Well, yeah. I mean, I certainly think that I've gotten a lot of opportunity because I've been so public online with what I've done online. So,
people think they know you.
Well, and I think that you get some benefit from that. But I also, you know, to kind of ride along with what you're saying, I think that there is some downside to that too. I mean, if you put out stuff that's questionable, you know, like my daughter has a MySpace page and my son's got a MySpace page, and I know a lot of teenagers do, and if they put up information about themselves, maybe pictures that are compromising or whatever, it can damage their reputation. It can cause the school to maybe suspend them. I mean, there's
but all this
things.
Stuff we've all heard on the local news at 5, you know, the scare stories about MySpace, don't put up your bank account information. I'm just looking for a new angle on this. I mean, do you have a story for us? I mean, things that have happened that are bad or good?
I don't really have anything up to this point in time that's been bad, really. I mean, I don't think there's anything between you and I that has happened to us because we've been so public online that has caused us to regret doing that necessarily.
I mean, the ex-wife thing, not a biggie.
I don't think it's manifested itself into anything in particular that's been damageful. I mean, I think certainly people can find out deep information about work history and your career and things like that for maybe child support reasons, those kind of things.
Not to say he doesn't pay. He totally does.
Yeah.
So don't worry
but
about
it's,
that.
You know, those are areas where you kind of get into, you know, a personal choice and how much you're willing to take that risk if you're trying to protect yourself from other people knowing too much about yourself. And I think if you're an honest person and you do the right thing typically and you're professional online and you don't have anything to hide, then you're probably okay. But if there's things that you're doing that are questionable, guess what? You may want to, you know, use some of these tools like BeHidden.com and TheCloak.com, which are two sites that can...
The Dash Cloak.
Yeah, that can make you anonymous online. There are search engines. There's one called Clusty.com, and that's Clusty.com that says that they don't mine your personal search data. And there's other places out there that you can get more tips and things like that to find out ways to protect yourself online, too. You just do a search, and I'm sure you can find an awful lot of stuff.
Now, I kind of made a statement in the headlines, you know, I procrastinate or not. But there is a piece of software, a brand new free piece of software called I Procrastinate. And it's actually a way to solve that problem. And isn't it a kid, a Florida, you know, college student or something?
Yeah, it says on his site, built by students, for students, it's free. So, you know, that's a perfect scenario there for students that like to procrastinate.
It's not on iProcrastinate.com, though. Let's just say it's on CraigOtis.com, which I presume is his name.
Yeah, but we thought this was kind of fun because it, just in time for school and actually, I think there's a lot of adults could probably use this software to help better streamline their time. But so it's kind of fun.
It just helps you manage projects and stuff. I kind of looked at the screenshots on CraigOtis.com and, you know, it's pretty bare bones as far just from the screenshots. But yeah, try it out. Thank you, Craig, for making that.
The next story is the country of Thailand is looking at giving one free laptop to every young child in the country over a period of years. I think they're starting out with giving out 30 computers to students in Thailand as a trial in October. And then another 500 more in November, and then they'll just keep ramping it up over time.
And you ask, how in the world? I mean, I paid $600 for a laptop or whatever. How in the world are they going to do that? Well, that is the cool part. Cheap. Anybody read Wired magazine or some of those others probably have seen pictures of those. It's like they're trying to really build cheap $100 laptops.
Yeah.
Durable.
There's like a crank on these things. You know, it's like a hand crank. You know,
I have a wind-up radio, you know, that you don't have batteries for.
That's right. Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. And they're basically fairly limited in what they can do technologically. They operate from like a mesh network, wireless network, but they also have the ability to get Wi-Fi, those kind of things. So if you're in the range of being able to get Wi-Fi, you can get it. And they typically run on Linux. They're using very low-cost software, and the hardware's low-cost as well. And the crank basically eliminates the need for a big, expensive, high-technology battery, too.
I love this quote from the prime minister. So I won't even pronounce his name, but the prime minister of Pakistan, the prime minister of Thailand, who actually does note in this article, running for re-election. So maybe
of course,
there's
a little bit of a political ploy.
Yeah. But I like what he said. He says, for each elementary school child, they'll receive a computer that the government will buy for them free of charge instead of books, because books will be found and can be read on computers. Now, okay. Anybody who has kids out there, they're throwing about 6,000 pounds of books on their back, on their backpack, and hauling them back and forth and highlighting them. That's old school.
Yeah.
You know, people will still read, but they can read online.
Yeah.
You can't really store much because, like they said, they're not really going to have a hard drive. It's a flash memory. But why not? You could keep updating things. Just the world of literature and information is out there.
Yeah. I think that the only thing I kind of wonder about that way of thinking about the computer is the fact that people don't really like to read that much online too. And I just don't know if kids will really, it's really a good replacement for books necessarily.
Why? It's just a medium. The text is still the same, black, you know, letters on white pages.
But I think what the computer really does well is enable people to create, to write, to edit, to, to generate text content, not necessarily a place.
Okay, so school children are going to be read doing it. That? No, I think the kids need to read.
Well, that
they need
that
to read their
true.
History and That's their true. Social studies.
Well, and if it does save some money on printing and cutting down trees, I guess that's another side benefit.
Pumped by hand laptops.
That's right. That's right. Well, the next topic here I wanted to cover is talk a little bit about Google AdSense. Google AdSense has been around for quite a few years now. Both Dan and I use it on all of our sites.
I think we had the first radio interview with the Google AdSense program manager.
Years and years and years.
Yeah, it's still in our archive.
Yeah, it's still there. You can actually do a search in our archive and you can probably find the very original interview. And we actually talked with one of the original guys that created the Gmail application just as it launched as well. So
are you saying that AdSense is always I have AdSense on my site. They're always renewing this. Are you saying it's a little antiquated or it's becoming invisible to people's eyes because they're just used to it everywhere?
Well, I think a lot of web publishers kind of get just plugged into AdSense because it's something they've always done, and maybe they don't think about other opportunities out there to make money off their website from an advertising perspective, because maybe. And I think this is fairly true. When we first started using AdSense, it actually generated pretty good revenue for us.
Mm-hmm.
Then within a fairly short period of time, though, it dropped off dramatically. And our traffic didn't really drop that much. I think it was that Google tweaked it so how much you made actually declined.
Can I just interject a really interesting innovation that I don't know if it's out there. I haven't read the message awards or anything. But can I just interject what AdSense is doing or looking at doing right now?
You bet.
Okay, just a few days ago, this past week, I got an email from AdSense saying my site, Boston Legal, was one of the few handpicked to do a trial run if I wanted to do it. And it's for premium video content as a replacement for text-based, where when I say premium video, it's like Comedy Central, MTV, I think Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have stuff that you don't just get from those websites, from those providers, those broadcasters. Anyway, and then they'll have ad-supported insertions of 30-second ads. And if a person watches beginning of the program, it starts out with content, not with ad, then watches the 30-second ad, it counts as a click. You get paid for that.
So it's actually content.
Yeah.
That's wrapped in advertising.
Video content.
That you're actually linking
and
to.
It's
not like
my impression is not
linking
wrapped.
To the ad that you put around your content.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Right, right. There, yeah. Yeah, you don't, it's MTV content. It's premium Comedy Central. Maybe Jon Stewart.
Yeah, can always hope, right? Yeah.
But I didn't get the impression it was wrapped in ads. I got it was donuts. You know,
donuts.
It was like content,
content. Okay.
And because they have to make it through to the content. So anyway, they're doing a test trial for 1 month. So if you want to see what it looks like, and I haven't gotten the code from them yet, just happened on Friday. So boston-legal.org, check in a few days. Maybe by the time you're listening to this.
So
I'll have it on my front page and see what
it's like.
And click, listen to the ads, and I'll get paid for it.
So what's their revenue model? Is it on a per-view basis?
Per view.
Or is it per-click?
Well, yeah, you don't click, it's a view.
Do you get paid more if the person clicks on the ad? Or?
I don't get the impression there's any clicking.
Oh, okay.
I get the impression it's a viewing and you
It's just per,
paid.
Per viewing of the ad and the spot.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I also don't know how much they pay versus what, you know, it's not a bidding situation. It is contractual advertising that they have arranged with MTV or whatever. It's not like it's you can bid for the placement of an ad, a person that maybe wants to have.
Okay, well, it's a flat rate deal, whatever the payout is.
So I don't know if it's still going to be 3 cents, what we get 3 cents a click or something really pathetic.
So what we kind of wanted to wrap up with this this story was there are a few other options out there that if you've got a website or a blog that you can look at to maybe earn a little bit more revenue than what you're making with AdSense.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is shopping.com. And I think it really depends on what your site does. If your site is kind of like reviewing products or involved in reviewing things that there are
purchasable things,
there's a physical product that's maybe directly keyword associatable to that. This may be a good option for you because the numbers that I've seen are pretty impressive. There's one site out there that actually created some significant revenue differentials between AdSense and Shopping.com by using Shopping.com.
ProductWiki did it, and they ran it for a week, and they did a site where the ads from AdSense and the ads from Shopping.com both were equally displayed on various parts of their sites.
Yep. And the big difference between the two is the percentage of people that actually click through. Both ads paid almost the same amount.
Within a penny, yeah.
Yeah, but the big difference was the linking between the interest in that particular page and the particular product that was offered on that page. And it generated, it was like 4.5 times the click-through rate.
29% click-through rate, yeah, versus AdSense, which was like 6.
Yeah.
And it made them $60. $60 instead of the 13.
Versus, 13 with Google, which is – and that's basically what we're seeing as well. The payout with Google AdSense just isn't that great anymore. And I'm not quite sure why that is.
I don't know that it's the payout, but it's the people – because the payout was about the same, 21 cents a click or something.
Well, and
but it's that people – they're ubiquitous.
Them.
They're everywhere. Well, he has some reasons that he gave. You know, the ignore factor, like I mentioned before, where people are tuning them out. It might as well just be invisible on that part of the page.
It's just like a regular banner ad.
And the style.
People tune out banner ads.
Exactly. Yeah. The style of it. I mean, actually, AdSense does let you tweak the colors and stuff, but some things you can't, you know, length, size, you can't really tweak. And apparently, Shopping.com allows a little more leeway on that.
Flexibility on a lot of different areas.
And of course, the big thing, relevancy, because like we all have seen, is especially if you have used Gmail and something in your emails mentioned and something totally different shows up in the ads around it. And the same principles at work here.
Yeah.
They may not have a direct link that's a paying customer right now, a direct relevance that's a paying customer. Right,
well, and also there are some things that you can do, and we don't really have time to go through all of it in great detail here, to improve your results with AdSense too. And one of the key things that I've been hearing about for quite a while is getting your AdSense ad actually in the content, not on the side or at the top or some outside location from the content. You actually embed the ads within the actual content text of the page, and it forces the eye to actually look at those.
I have it right in the middle of my news announcements at Boston Legal. You're reading about Shatner, and then suddenly, order Boston Legal Season 1 DVD, and then you're reading about something that Candace Bergen did. And this is right there.
There's a couple of late-breaking things that I just wanted to mention here that have kind of popped up online as things that are kind of happening right now. It looks like that Google is letting in just pornographic-type videos.
Ooh.
They've kind of opened the door, I guess, to actually do it. They haven't actually gone out and said they want that kind of content, but if you look at they've made some changes to their upload area for Google Video to enable mature and adult video content to be uploaded. And they've removed the term pornographic, and all it says is you can't upload obscene content. So they're kind of walking a fine line here, but I think it's interesting that Google has decided that they're not going to be that big of a censor on this. And it may be a real, in the long run, could be a significant strategic advantage for them.
I was going to say, I hope you weren't going to say mistake. Because
No.
Even though the prudes in us would.
I wouldn't say it's a mistake from the aspect of popularity or growth of their service.
Are you kidding?
I think it's actually
the purpose of the world will descend upon Google Video.
Because I think their competitors are a little bit more restrictive on this kind of stuff. I mean, if you look at YouTube and Microsoft's video solutions.
If not, the soccer moms get mad. You can't offend the soccer moms.
Oh, well, no. Of course not. But Google can for some reason.
Google doesn't care anymore. They're in China.
Well, one other thing I wanted to mention, too, was Windows has released, Windows Live has released an application. It's a beta application called Windows Live Writer. And what you can do is you just download this little application. It allows you to have a little application on your computer that will allow you to make blog posts. So if you've got an account with Blogger or Movable Type or WordPress or anything,
then you have no life.
Well,
if you have that many blogs.
If you're already blogging with all those places, you kind of want to have a single interface, right, that you would want to be able to write to and maybe publish the same post to various blogs that you have or whatever, and a real simple interface for that. So
for the multiple blogger your home.
Well, you know, Mitch is a multiple blogger. He's got his own personal blog plus his
ZDNet. So is this a free download?
Yeah, it's free. Well,
and where?
You just go to live.com.
Live.com.
And you can get
it's
there.
It's called Write.
Windows Live.
W-R-I.
Writer, actually.
T-E.
Yeah. So
Writer.
Go check that out. Definitely. That's kind of late breaking news. It's just happening as we speak.
Well, you know, that's all relative because by tomorrow, it's not so late breaking.
It's old news at that point, right?
Yeah.
Let's get into our interviews that we have coming up. I know we've been a little long-winded on the show today, but hopefully we haven't bored you too much. But right now we have in the studio Bill Valente, who's the Executive Vice President of Melodio Mobilecast, and he's the host actually of his own podcast at The Rantcast Show with Bill Valente. And he and I are going to discuss Melodio's mobile phone podcasting listening announcement they had last week about Alltel Wireless, the fifth largest wireless phone carrier in the United States, and why that's significant to podcasters and you, the listener. Bill, thanks for joining me on the show.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it is.
And Bill, you're a senior vice president of Melodio?
No, I am the protagonist is my official
protagonist. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds like a good thing to call yourself.
It's better than the antagonist.
Well, we have some terrific news coming out of Mobilecast and Melodio. I guess we've been making a transition from being primarily known, I think, as Mobilecast to Melodio, which is our new name.
Yeah.
Well, new and old name all at the same time.
Yeah, it was the original name of the company, and we added Mobilecast as a service, as a new product offering for pushing podcasts out to mobile phones, and now we're about to make it even more interesting with a major U.S. carrier launch.
Yeah, and that's going to be Alltel, who just released the Mobilecast application. And that's very exciting. Then, why don't you kind of run down for the listeners kind of how that's going to work and what kind of an impact you think that's going to have on mobile phone podcast listening?
Yeah, well, I think to my mind, podcasting is almost the perfect kind of digital media content for mobile phones because, after all, phones are audio devices. Yeah, people are watching video on it, but you know, primarily it's recognized as an audio device. And the huge and growing catalog of great podcast material available on the web now makes it very interesting to have a solution, which we've offered, called Mobilecast, to enable people to search and stream or download those podcasts to the mobile phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's certainly a change in distribution. I mean, we all know about the iPod and the iTunes solutions and just being able to download a podcast, but certainly having it available anywhere and everywhere you might be on a mobile phone is certainly, you know, a dream that I've had since the very early days when I started podcasting with my podcast years ago, and I think it's really exciting to be part of the development of this, because I think with this announcement with Alltel, I think we're coming into kind of a new age for podcasting and its reach, and even on a global basis. It seems like there's a lot of interest around the world with doing anything on a mobile phone, even more so here than the United States, and it seems like that there's just a great opportunity moving forward.
Well, Rob, of course, is so grandfathered into this business. He was a podcaster before there was an iPod, and I think that begs the comment that podcasting really is a misnomer. Most people are listening to these web broadcasts on their PC, not really taking the trouble to sideload them to an MP3 player, whether it's an iPod or other mm-hmm. MP3 player. So let's just accept the fact that they've now become called podcasts. And what we enable people to do is to search that large catalog of digital media from a mobile phone, stream it to the phone or download it to the phone, no matter where they are, any time of day or night. So it really is all about convenient discovery of interesting material, both from the major mainstream slick media companies all the way down to the bottom of the pyramid, which is where a lot of really interesting amateur content is being created.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's run down kind of the finer details of this Alltel release and what's happening with that. They're going to offer Mobilecast for a monthly subscription of $3.99. That's a little bit of a change from what has been out there with Mobilecast. It's been free up to this point. But, Bill, what do you think? Do you think that that's going to change the dynamics out there and what the future of kind of subscription-based mobile phone podcast listening? What do you think?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, yes, podcasts as a content type have been free on the internet. Of course, you needed a PC or an iPod, or you needed a web connection to get the podcast. So nothing is really free. And the same thing in mobile. I mean, people are quite used to paying for everything that they do on a mobile phone, whether it's voice communications, text communications, using their WAP browser, etc. So I think what's interesting about this Mobilecast launch with Alltel and other launches in the pipeline is that carriers have seen this as an opportunity to create a vertical mini data plan, I guess you'd call it, tuned to the mass market that's quite a bit cheaper than the $20 or $25 a month all-you-can-eat unlimited data plans that are typically marketed to the enterprise customer. So at $3.99 a month, this is an affordable data service for a type of content that is hugely popular in the sort of under 25 demographic. And I think, therefore, a very interesting new initiative for major carriers to find opportunities to create data plans with that new audience.
Yes, and we're offering a very good selection of podcast content actually on the phone. When you actually load the software, it loads a catalog, a fairly comprehensive catalog of fairly major branded media content right now, but there's thousands and thousands of podcasts that are available via search through the application as well. So you're getting a terrific sample, and I'm actually working on the content side of it myself and building out the catalog, and I'm looking for the very best podcasts out there, the best quality, just the highest value podcast that I can make available. But if you have your own favorite podcast, you'll probably be able to get it through there now. And if it's one of those newer podcasts, maybe we haven't added to the podcast database, we'll probably have it very soon. And you can certainly go to our website at melodio.com, which you're probably listening to this from right now, and actually submit your favorite podcast to us, and we'll add it to the database.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because our client, the Mobilecast client, the top line of the client is my favorites, and it's basically your playlist. So podcasts that you subscribe to and that you want to get updates, new episodes in that podcast, are automatically updated in the catalog that's on our server. Your podcast, your Mobilecast client on your phone becomes very personalized simply by your adding new things to it or deleting stuff that you don't want to subscribe to anymore.
Well, Bill, thanks for jumping in the studio and helping explain Mobilecast and Melodio to new listeners and people that are jumping on and finding out about it because of the Alltel release. And we've certainly got more announcements coming later in the summer with possibly some more wireless carriers here in the U.S. and around the world. So stay tuned and keep following Melodio at melodio.com.
Yeah, stay tuned is the applicable word. That's our byline right now.
Right.
Stay tuned.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. And my name is Rob Greenlee, and you've been listening to Bill Valente from Melodio. And up next, we have on the phone Scott Lamond, who's president and COO of Sitespeed.com. And his company is the leading provider of video and voice calling online. And Scott's going to explain the present and future of video voice calling. Scott, welcome to the show.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it is terrific to have you on the show. Why don't you run through for our listeners about video calling online? It's been around for many years. You know, how has it been growing over the last few years, especially since broadband has kind of gotten, you know, a lot of adoption here over the last 4 or 5 years?
That's right. Well, you know, we're fond of saying that video calling over the web, you know, it's always been the next great thing. I think in the World Fair sometime in the 60s, it was, you know, shown off, and everybody's been waiting for it to happen. But for a variety of reasons, it hasn't. I think what's changed now, as we sit here in 2006, mid-year, is that, you know, broadband penetration is really getting there to where there's a critical mass of that. The quality of the broadband connections now that you can get is much better. Bandwidth is better. QoS is better. And then, you know, computers, of course, with Moore's Law, have become sufficiently powerful that they can compress and decompress and render video with ease and not take, you know, 100% of your CPU. And webcams have just, you know, increasingly gone up in quality and come down in price. So all the factors are there. And I think the final fourth factor is that people now are aware that you can do this. And I think that, you know, sort of started with the increased awareness around voice over IP services. And people said, well, you know, I have this big broadband pipe and fast computer, and maybe I can do more than just make, you know, low-cost phone calls with it. What's mm-hmm. next? And, of course, the logical thing, I think, is video. Mm-hmm. And how can I enrich my communications experience and see the people at the other end that I don't get to see enough, and away we go.
What are some of the new ways that people are actually using this process? I mean, are there some primary ways that users are actually using the software to actually make calls, or is there business applications for this, or is it, you know, mostly personal, or what are you seeing out there?
Sure. Well, we see in our business about 70% or so of the people who, you know, respond to our surveys will tell us that they're using it for personal use. And the primary thing they say they're doing is they're using it to see and talk to people who live far away that they would like to see more, but, you know, they're separated by distance or by work, travel, or whatever it happens to be. The other 25-30% or so are, you know, small business users. people who maybe have remote offices or work from home or travel quite a bit. And in the past, the solution for video conferencing for them would be a very expensive room-based system and something from a Polycom or a Tandberg or a PictureTel. And those are wonderful systems, but they are expensive, sometimes difficult to operate. I don't mean to disparage them, but they're very high-end systems, and they look and feel very high-end, but they're not perfect for the guy who's a road warrior and he wants to use video to talk to his boss during the day or his customer and then check into a hotel, plug his laptop in, and talk to his wife and kids in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So, people use it, I think, on the business side, both to help their business, but we also see some of our users who use it as part of their business. So we have people who use video with SiteSpeed to do things like language tutoring. So, students maybe will be traveling to the U.S. to go to college, and they're wanting to brush up on their language skills. So they'll sign up for language tutoring online, and that is something that happens, with SiteSpeed. So lots of different applications, as many ways, I think, as people have, come to use the telephone, people are starting to use SiteSpeed, video calling for that.
Well, now, as you kind of look into the future here with SiteSpeed and video calling online just in general, what do you see as kind of the next frontier of what's happening out there? I know that video blogging is a big thing out there right now, YouTube, and people are creating videos and they're basically becoming broadcasters more and more. Do you see your software having a place in that process?
Great question. Yes, we do. One of the features of SiteSpeed is that in addition to making calls to you using video in the real time, I can also create a recording using my webcam and store it on SiteSpeed servers, and then send that out to, a mailing list or create a link from that and post it into a blog or onto my website.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing a lot of users, finding that push to click, to create, to store functionality that we offer as a very handy way to eliminate the need for uploading something, that I created on a camcorder, for example, or a mm-hmm. digital recorder. So we certainly see the interest growing in terms of people using video to create, video profiles now for their social networking sites. And we see people creating videos for their blogging sites as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the easier we can make that and the richer experience, the more rich we can make that experience, I think we'll just see that continue to grow. The other thing I think that we're starting to become very interested in as a company is video-enabled commerce. So if you think about, in the past, the only people who could really afford to put together a video commercial, were pretty large companies who had the, ad teams and mm-hmm. could hire people to film things and then could broadcast them, pay to broadcast them over the television network. But if I'm selling something like my lawnmower, which I'm looking at now as I sit in my backyard, perhaps I want to create my own television commercial, IPTV commercial using SiteSpeed, record that, post it into my ad, into my sales site, whether that's on eBay or some other site, and then people can really get a sense of what the thing is, and I can put some salesmanship behind it, and that becomes, I think a very valuable e-commerce application for video. So those two areas are of interest to us. Obviously, technologically, we also believe mobility with video is going to be the next frontier for us. Right now, we're seeing people who are interested in, not only being able to do mobile video calls, but also they want to show people what they're seeing. Here I'm standing at the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what I'm seeing right now in real time with video. So we think that's also very exciting.
So what you're saying is your application and the viewing of the videos will be extending over to the mobile phone, or can a person do that today?
Today, we do not support cellular phone playback or real-time calls. We do have extensive R&D underway to push into those areas. We are working with some third parties to interoperate with systems which are standards-based,
mm-hmm.
mobile and wireless system, so that SiteSpeed can place calls to and from these systems as well.
Videos can be very, very important as we move into the future and as we get better wireless broadband as well. One thing that I saw that was really interesting about what you guys are doing is that you guys have the ability to send somebody a link to a web page and actually share with a live video and an on-demand video. You have that ability right now through your system to be able to actually host it and deliver it over the web?
Exactly. So whenever anyone signs up for site, whether it's a free user or one of our premium users, you get a web address, which we call the SiteSpeed web address, or we've also named it the My SiteSpeed address. clicks on that, or it'll open a web page and place a call to your Sitespeed client. So this is something that, you know, people are putting on their email address lines. Click to call me here on Sitespeed. And in 5.0, which is coming out next week, our next version, we're actually making that easier by letting people cut and paste the HTML for Sitespeed buttons into your blog, web page, or onto your email address block.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. It's great because, you know, when a lot of people sign up for Sitespeed, they may know a lot of people that they would like to use Sitespeed with, but they haven't been able to introduce Sitespeed to those friends or family members or work colleagues yet. So, you know, Sitespeed Web, you know, eliminates the need to do that until those people want the other functionality in the client for themselves.
Yeah, I would imagine. Well, now, and I understand you're also supporting voice calls from PC to PC as well. Why don't you explain kind of how that program works?
That's right. One of the nice things about having a direct relationship to our consumers is that they tell us what they want. And the largest single area where people were asking for new functionality was in being able to call a regular telephone.
Mm-hmm.
We're rolling out our 5.0 version next week, and that will have PSTN outcalling and PSTN in-calling, and the in-calling has its own voice mailbox. So if you call somebody and they're not there, you can leave a nice message, and that will be sent to them via email. So, you know, we've already been running the out-calling as a beta offering as we prepare for 5.0, and that's been, you know, very nicely received by, you know, people that use us and also by people that follow us as a company. So
do you find that people actually will place a voice call to another party to actually request a video call?
Sometimes. A lot of times, people will use other means to invite people into a video call, like I am. Also, we support internet-based voice calls. There are times when you want to use video. There are other times you don't. Maybe you're not dressed appropriately, you just don't really care to see, you know, your coworker on video.
Sure.
And so, as part of 5.0, we're making it easy for you to select how you want to use the internet to communicate, right? Do I want to send a voice-only call? I can select that very easily. Do I want to send a full video call? Do I want to do a multi-party conference? Or if I know the person is, you know, traveling and all he or she has is a cell, I can use, you know, Sitespeed outcalling to dial them directly and get them in their car. So it's all about, you know, giving somebody a personal video services platform so that they can use the internet, use the video expertise of Sitespeed to communicate with people however they want.
Yeah. What is the process that a typical user goes through to try and find people to use the service with? And is there any kind of scheduling software or scheduling component to this that you can set up, you know, call times and times that, you know, people can actually meet up, you know?
I see. We don't have a scheduler built into Sitespeed. You know, Sitespeed has really grown probably mostly through word of mouth.
Okay.
We don't advertise a lot. We do pay for a little search engine advertising so that people can find us, you know, through Google or Overture or others. But in the main, people invite their friends or their colleagues to join because they've tried Sitespeed or someone has introduced them to it and they liked it. When I invite you, if I were to invite, you know, Rob to join, I would send them an email from within Sitespeed that says, invite this person. If you were to sign up for Sitespeed in response to that invitation, you would be automatically added to my contact list and I would be added to yours. So there are also ways for me to share with you people that maybe are on my Sitespeed contact list, and because you and I move in the same circles or we have the same friends, I can push all those names to you, and then you can determine whether or not you want to, you know, accept those new contacts to be part of your list. So there are lots of ways that we've thought of to make Sitespeed easy in terms of building your personal network of users on Sitespeed. In addition, we've introduced something in the past few months called the Sitespeed Community. And again, you know, one of the things our users were asking for was, hey, I'd like to talk to people in Australia or in Europe who use Sitespeed. You know, use it sort of as a way to just meet people I've never met before or learn about new places, sort of like ham radio, however they describe it. So we thought about how to do that safely because there is the potential for, you know, people to call you with video and have that not be a pleasant experience.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we've come the way we've made the community available to our users is that you can set up a separate identity which appears in the community only when you choose to be listed. And you can, with a click of a button, choose to unlist or list yourself whenever you want in the community.
Okay.
And when you're in the community, there's no way for that identity to get back to your real SiteSpeed username. So unless you meet someone that you like and want to tell them what your real SiteSpeed username is.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good idea.
That's a great way that people are meeting people all around the world.
Why don't you run through for us how a listener to this program can get going with SiteSpeed? What's the process they typically have to go through to get it? What do they need besides a webcam, or is that pretty much all they need?
Well, we recommend a webcam. You don't need to use the webcam to use SiteSpeed because we do offer the voice calling and the PSTN calling. But to get the full experience, what we're really known for is the quality of the video. So I encourage everybody to go out and get a webcam, go to SiteSpeed.com, download SiteSpeed, just takes a few minutes. You'll also need a headset, typically. Most people's computers don't have great microphone and speaker setups for sending voice, so a headset really helps the person on the other end, and then you're ready to go. And one thing, which I will mention, just coming out, which is an interesting new feature for us, is that you can also use SiteSpeed to place shift your television now if you have a Media Center PC.
Oh, that's great.
So another reason why people are signing up for SiteSpeed or will be signing up for SiteSpeed when we launch 5.0 is that they can hook up their home computer, with a capture card.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're on the road, they can watch their personal television set and flip through the channels using SiteSpeed.
Oh, wow. That's a big new feature for you guys, it sounds like.
It is, but our expertise is in compressing video and shipping it over the internet. And to us, a video feed can come from many sources.
Exactly. That is certainly true. The basic SiteSpeed service is free, but you guys have a premium paid service as well. What's the difference between the two?
That's a good question. The free service offers unlimited one-to-one video calling anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It offers the user the ability to create an unlimited number of video mails, send those out to anybody they want. And it offers text messaging as well. The Pro plan adds the multi-party conferencing. You can call up to four people at once on a SiteSpeed call, which is a lot of fun if you have a big family or use it for work. It's great, very, very great for collaborating. It also extends the video recording and storage times. So in the free plan, my video mails are limited to 30 seconds, and we'll store them for you for 30 days for free. In the Pro plan, we'll let you record up to 2 minutes of video, and then we'll store them for you for as long as you remain a pro member of SiteSpeed. And we also offer some cool administrative features for people who may use SiteSpeed Pro as part of their business. So things like detailed call records, detailed video mail records, so I can see how many people have viewed a particular video mail I sent to my customers, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I certainly wish you the most luck out there. It sounds like you guys are really making great progress with online video and trying to enable people to better use video to communicate with each other, and I think it's terrific. And if you're a listener, go visit SiteSpeed.com, and it's a great resource for doing some video calling.
That's Scott, great. Really enjoyed it, Rob. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. I appreciate you spending some time here on Saturday to give me a call.
My pleasure.
We've been speaking to Scott Lamond, who's president and COO of SiteSpeed.com, the leading provider of video and voice calling online. Go check out their website at SiteSpeed.com. Well, Dana, we're wrapping up another show, Web Talk Radio.
With a bow on it. Hope you enjoy the present.
Yes. Come back and listen. Next time we publish a show, I hope you can dive in and get our RSS feed, which will alert you when we have another show.
Yeah, but we've been a little irregular, so that's the best way to do it, is just subscribe.
Yeah, I would say it is, or just check back every so often and see if we've updated things. But like Dana said, the best thing is just to subscribe to our RSS feed. That'll let you know right away. Well, we hope you have a terrific week. Thank you for tuning in and listening again. And
we'll bump into you somewhere on the net.
That's right. Send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. We'll see you around the net.